News Talk on demand. Interruption-free audio. Where you want it, when you want it.
Good morning, and welcome to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Jay Thomas. With me, like always, Rick Van Dyvendyke. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Jay.
Here we are. It is already July 5th. Wow.
It's amazing. It goes by fast.
Doesn't it? I mean, I've had a few weeks off here and there. There's been some fill-in guests, as I'm sure our regular Garden Talk listeners have known and heard in the past little while. But wow, here we are in the middle of July. And I got to start with this, Rick. Some crazy weather. I hope everybody's doing okay and everybody's safe. But we had a pair of tornadoes yesterday in southern Saskatchewan. Glenbane, yep. There was one that touched down there, confirmed. And another confirmed tornado 20 kilometers west of La Flèche. So, that's some pretty crazy weather to kick off July.
And I think on Friday there were some plow winds down in the south as well.
Yeah, I did hear about that as well. So
they would have hit 110 kilometers an hour or something like that, some winds that came through.
We haven't heard anything really about damage just yet, you know, in terms of numbers or anything like that. But the good news is it sounds like these were, you know, out in rural Saskatchewan. So, I mean, that's not that there isn't people out there. There's just less people. So hopefully everybody's safe and everybody's property is still okay. At least I'm hoping so. Haven't heard anything otherwise. Welcome to Garden Talk, 1-877-332-8255. We wanted to also kick off the show, Rick, talking about some fertilizing. And I know we're going to get people joining the show today. It's a one-hour Garden Talk, so give us a call at that number. You can text us at that number. But we started by talking about fertilizing, right?
Yeah, like one thing about people to remember is that, and I get that question all the time, is that how long do I have fertilizer for it? Especially my trees and my evergreens, like spruce trees and junipers and cedars and all this kind of stuff. And now you're looking at right now, between now and July the 15th is your last time to give them a fertilizer. And then they ask me, well, my cedar is probably 20 years old. You know, do I still need to fertilize it? Should be good on its own, right? Well, my little comeback to them, and people probably heard that on the show, is that I'm 60 years old now, and I eat three times a day. What's the deal with that? And so people kind of, so people kind of figure, okay, yeah, well, so I still eat, and the plants are the same. If you want to keep a tree healthy, keep it, you know, resistant to disease and the insects and all those kind of things, you need to have food. And you got to remember, in our yards, Jay, what do we do every fall? We clean up all the leaves, right?
Sure, yeah.
We bag all our lawn clippings, everything else. So in nature, all those leaves fall down and they create a mat on the ground, and you get all the decaying matter, which becomes fertilizer. And in our yards, we put fabric down, we put mulch down, and, you know, rock down, everything else. And there's no food for the plants. And so we have to fertilize. I always say you got to fertilize those plants in your yard until the day that you sell the house and you don't own the yard anymore.
Right, right.
So basically, you're going to be fertilizing every year. And so it's very important. And people are asking, especially in these old farmyards with these, you know, these multiple generation shelter belts, and there's a whole needle count disease going through those shelter belts. And there again, if the trees become stressed, The trees are more susceptible to things like needle count disease, and then that's a huge devastating disease that can wipe out your whole shelter belt. So you want to be making sure that you're fertilizing, and in most times the evergreens in shelter belts, just use the same fertilizer that you're using on your canola plants and that kind of stuff. So it has a sulfur, an elemental sulfur, and you're trying to lower the pH of your, especially if your pH is anything over 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
You want to lower the pH. It's huge. And so in residential yards, just you can, your evergreens and your trees, now and July the 15th is the last time you're going to fertilize. Any shrubs, you can go a little bit longer. I say you can go up to August 1st on shrubs, and that'd be about it. The reason why is I want the plants to all shut down for the wintertime. And if you force them to grow, especially things like birches and maples and even evergreens, evergreens shut down. Put their terminal buds for next year around August the 1st, so they're done growing. They're not going to grow anymore anyways. And maples will keep growing right through the wintertime if you let them. So that's why you want to shut them down quicker, maples and birches, otherwise you can get a lot of tip kill on them.
Okay, so I'm sorry, yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
Go ahead. Last thing is lawns. I mean, that fertilizer you put down in the end of April and beginning of May has now run out. And so now you want to put a fertilizer down again. Now, Jay, you use a fertilizer, I think, called Groundskeeper, right? A locally made fertilizer. How is it making out in your yard?
Oh, man, it's awesome. I do admit that I have to run the lawnmower a little more often because it's growing. But, man, my front lawn especially is just dark, rich, deep green. It's like carpet. It's awesome. And you know what? There are other yards around, okay, I'll be honest, that the grass isn't so great. And, man, they are a dandelion festival. Like, it's crazy. But in my yard, in my grass, because the grass is so thick, there are very few. There's the odd one here or there that takes, that, you know, kind of catches on. And I take care of that with some Kill-X. And that's it. It's just nice, solid green. And all the patches, all the little spots where I had some brown, you know, winter kill near the sidewalk in the front, and it was a little bit thin kind of up near the top where it doesn't get as much light, it's really thickened up and filled in now.
Yeah, so there's lots of fertilizers out there that work well. Scotts makes a good one called Scotts Max and that kind of stuff, but I like this one called Groundskeeper because it's made for our soils. It's made in Saskatoon, so we're supporting a local company.
Yep.
And that's what's important, is to support local. And also because it has a sulfur in it, and none of the other, and it also has phosphorus in it. All the other fertilizers have a zero for a second number. A Groundskeeper has 10 for a second number, so it has a phosphorus, but it also has a 17 as a fourth number, which is sulfur. And that makes it so the plant can take up more of that nutrients, and that's why you're able to take up all those nutrients, not have all those nutrients just wasted in the ground and the plant can't get at it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's huge.
Well, it's a fifth number, too. There's iron in there as well, right?
There's iron, and that's also what will make your lawn nice and green.
Yes, that deep, rich forest green that everybody's looking for. Okay, so let's sum this up, because we're going to go to Tom's call in Regina right away. But what can we fertilize and what can't we fertilize?
Okay, so if you can fertilize all your shrubs and trees this time of the, for one last time, you can use a 30-10-10, 20-20-20, it doesn't matter. Give them food of any type, okay?
Okay.
In your shrubs, you can go, again, 30-10-10, 20-20-20, anything like that. And then your lawn, you can use anything. You can just to green it up to give it some food. I just recommend the Groundskeeper, but I mean, that's because it is, because of how it's made up of the numbers. But other than that, they just need some food. So that's the big thing to keep them healthy.
Okay.
And keep your lawn thick, and keeping the weeds out of it is a huge part of it.
And we want to stop, like you said, the fertilizing at least of the trees and shrubs July 15th.
July 15th, that's their last feeding. So any time between now and July the 15th is your last feeding.
10 days, or less than 10 days. Yeah, 10 days.
Yep.
Okay, perfect. Let's take a call right now. We're going to go to Regina and talk to Tom, who's been waiting patiently. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. Beautiful day.
Yeah, it sure is.
I found the blight on one of my tomatoes on the leaves. So what I did is I pulled it, and I used that Bordeaux copper dust to put it in water around the tomatoes within about a 4 feet radius of that one that was infected.
Right.
I'm just wondering, is it that enough, or should I be doing more? Because I pulled it right up.
Yeah, good thing you pulled it out. Make sure when you do find another one or pull it out, actually bag it in the garden, okay? Don't just pull it up and drag it across the yard, because you'll spread the spores as you walk out of the garden, okay? So take a garbage bag and bag it right in the garden, and then pull it out, okay?
Okay.
Also, what you want to do is, I would suggest not just doing a 4 foot radius. I would do the whole garden with all your tomatoes, and also do your potatoes as well.
Okay.
Because that blight will go into your potatoes as well. So if you do have that, but spray all the plants in your yard. It's very important. And do it about every 10 days.
What would cause that?
It spreads through the air and through insects. Okay. And it usually sits in especially if someone would put that blighted plant into a compost. It'll stay in that composted wood from the plant from last year. And it also, the spores can stay in the soil. And so somewhere it came from, somewhere around, it could have been from a bird brought it or insect brought it, or it came from a neighbor. But it came from somewhere.
Yeah, I'm in a community garden, so it's important I do it right.
Yep. And the community gardens, they do a lot of composting, so you got to make sure if you ever get any infected plants, you can't put them in the compost. You got to get them right out of the garden.
Get them right up. Okay, thank you. You have a great day.
You too, Tom. Okay. Thanks a lot. 1-877-332-8255. That's where we're going to stop, actually, right now. We'll take a quick break. We're going to get to Nadine's call after the break as well. We've got texts coming in. Mary Lou, Kathy, Lynn and Moose Jaw, Kyle, who's in Leader, Wanda in Saskatoon, Doug in PA, Miriam in Morse. So lots of texts to get to as well. We're going to get to those as soon as we get back. I'm Jay Thomas with Rick Van Dyvendyke. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. I'm Jay Thomas. Rick Van Dyvendyke is with me. And, Rick, we're going to get pretty much right into the calls here because we've got Sidna, we've got Lynn, and the longest one waiting is Nadine, who's out in Macklin. Hi, Nadine.
Hello.
What is your question for us?
Yes, I was wondering, can I fertilize my apple trees? The interesting thing is last year they were loaded. I have two. This year they bloomed and there was a terrible wind going on, so nothing set. But I still want to know if I can fertilize them and when.
Yeah, actually, this is a good year to fertilize. Right, this would be about your last time you to fertilize it right this month here.
Yes.
And use something like a 15-30-15.
Okay.
Okay, a little bit higher phosphorus on it.
Okay.
And do that right now, and that would be good because this is a good year because the tree is basically taking a rest. If it had a huge crop last year.
Yes.
A lot of times it'll take a rest, and now is a good time to build up that energy and then put a 15-30-15 around that plant. And if it's an old apple tree, you're probably going to pour about 5 gallons of water mixed with that fertilizer all the way around the drip line of the tree.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes. So what time can I do this?
Any time now, between now and the 15th of July.
All right. Very good. Thanks
all right,
a lot.
Okay. Thanks, Nadine.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Perfect.
1-877-332-8255. We're going to go to Regina right now and talk to Lynn. Hi there, Lynn.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's the question for us?
I have a raspberry problem. I've been away for about 5 days. Came back. I have actually two little, a bigger patch and then a separate little patch that sort of migrated where it shouldn't be. Anyways, the leaves on that second one are all lacy, obviously been eaten by something. Just the veins left. No, I would like to keep it away from the other ones, and I'm actually thinking of getting rid of, there's only about 10 canes there, cutting them back down so that doesn't spread to the other patch. I don't know what it is, and if there's something I can spray, otherwise, I was thinking.
Are they the same variety of raspberries, or are they different variety of raspberries?
Yeah, they migrated from the first patch to a little strip along the fence, and there's about 10 there. They have been there for 2 or 3 years, and I came back to notice that all the leaves are pretty well eaten.
Yeah, well, so basically you either have a beetle or a caterpillar that's eaten them, so they just ended up having to be, you're probably along the fence line. Is there more trees closer to that fence line?
No, it is along the fence line, but there is no trees. It's in a fairly new area. There's no trees there, It happened very quick, and when I came back, I had a look last night, and I couldn't even see anything. So I think they've done their job, and they're gone. I don't know.
Yeah, because it could be the caterpillar, or it could be a beetle. Most likely a caterpillar.
Okay.
If those caterpillars start marching, they can find your other.
That's exactly what I'm trying to keep away from.
So you just have to keep an eye on it. You know, watch it every day. And if you do get a caterpillar, then you can spray them with a product called BTK.
BTK?
BTK. It's a biological, so what happens, you spray it, and if you want to, you can spray it onto the leaves of those raspberries right now, because as soon as the caterpillars chew on those leaves, it will get a tummy ache, and they will basically die. But it doesn't affect the bees, and it doesn't affect any other insects except for caterpillars.
Okay, what about the fruit that's just about ready to,
it won't affect the fruit. Yeah, it won't affect the fruit at all.
It won't, eh?
Yeah, that's what's nice about BTK. It's safe to use.
It's not a really heavy chemical then?
Nope, it's not. It's a biological, so it's very safe to use.
Okay, so I can get that anywhere.
Unless you don't have to put it on unless you notice them that you start chewing. Then you need to put it on right away.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, then.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot. 1-877-332-8255. That's going to bring me to a question I've got about raspberry bushes as well. We're going to get to after we get to Sidna's call, who's out in Fort Qu'Appelle. Good morning.
Good morning.
What is your question for us?
My question is my Scarlet Runner beans. They came up quite healthy looking, and the last week the leaves have curled up. They're all wrinkled. the little branches with the flower buds on have curled up too.
So there's two reasons why you get curling up, okay? One is that you have you might have got a virus into them, okay? And the second one is they got a drift of herbicide. That's two reasons why they would curl up.
I wondered if it was herbicide. I don't use any, but there was dandelions. I'm just south end of a little park here.
Yep.
But I had a good friend sent me an email last night. She lives in town, and her husband spotted it, too, on theirs. And it's an enclosed area, and there's no way there's any spray of any kind there.
Yeah, okay. So like I said, you might have a virus going through your beans. If it's a virus, there's nothing you can do about it, okay? So there's nothing you can spray or nothing you can do with them. Are the leaves curling up or are they curling down?
They're curling up, like making a little, like a little boat, you might say.
Yeah, like a little cup or something like that.
That's right.
Yeah, it sounds like you might have a virus in there, and so the problem is it's just one plant or is it all of them?
Well, I have these plants in a big round blue tub that I get from my son on the farm, and I have about 8 plants in there.
Yeah.
The string is going up, and they've been climbing, but they...
It sounds like you might have a virus, and there's nothing you can do with that. There's no chemical or nothing you can give you to fix that.
Just pull them up and destroy them, eh?
Yeah, that's all you can do.
Sorry to hear that. In all the years I've gone, never seen anything like this.
Yeah, no, you got something in there. It might have became with the seeds. It might have just blown in. If your neighbors got them, it might be just something that blew into your area.
Oh, it's my homegrown seed, too.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be something that blew into the area, but there's nothing you can do with that.
Okay, one other question with a delphinium. It showed early in the spring, and I sprayed it with insecticidal soap, and I have another delphinium. One is blooming beautifully, and the other one about 20 feet away, no flowers on it, and it just does not look healthy on the top part.
Okay, so have you fertilized it at all?
A bit of 2020, yes.
Yep, okay, so when's the last time you did that?
Oh, gosh, 3 weeks ago or more?
Yeah, so give it about a half a liter of water, okay?
Yes.
Mix with your 2020 again at about half strength of your 2020, okay?
Yes.
Go half strength, a half liter of water, mix with the 2020 and give that again right now.
Okay.
And that should perk it up.
Very good.
Okay.
Thank you very kindly.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
1-877-332-8255. We've only got about a minute left here before we got to go to our break. So, Lorraine, hang on. We'll get to your call after the break. Let's ask this really quick, Rick. My sister-in-law wants to grow raspberry bushes in a big pot, right?
Yep.
But, of course, that pot can't stay outside because if it's not in the ground, the plant won't make it. Can it be brought inside? Can it be kept alive as a plant all year round, or does it have to have a break?
Needs a break.
How short can the break be?
The break, you need to leave it outside, so let it freeze down, okay, the tops. But you don't want to let the roots freeze.
Yep.
So the roots can go down to -5, -10 maximum.
Okay.
Okay? So you can go into a garage and, you know, where it's going to be anywhere from -10 to +4. And that'll keep them dormant.
And how long does that have to be dormant for?
Basically, you want to at least have a month or two anyways.
And
so if you go from where it drops its leaves in September,
yep,
right, you can go to, I would suggest go to December, and then if she wants to start them up again, she can start them up in January again.
Okay, so you could get it going as early as January, but it's got to be in that -10 to +4 range.
And then you have to have them somewhere where it's lots of light, like direct sunlight. That's tough to do inside.
When you bring them back out, of course.
Yes.
Yeah, grow lights are probably the way to go with that, I suppose. So.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, let's take a quick break. Mel, Lorraine, hang on, and we're going to get some texts answered on the break here as well. A news update for everybody right now. I'm Jay Thomas, the Rick Van Dyvendyke. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back to Garden Talk. I'm Jay Thomas with Rick Van Dyvendyke, who joins me, of course, by the phone these days. That's how things work right now. And we're going to get to some text in a second, but we've got some calls to get to, which have showed up, which is great. So going from the top, waiting the longest is Lorraine, who's in Prince Albert. Hi, Lorraine.
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
I have a problem. I don't know what it is. My Saskatoon berries, they're still in the green stage, but the blossom ends are black.
If the blossom ends are black, then you have a fungal happening in your patch, and what you have to do is spray them again with copper sulfate. Do that right away.
Copper sulfate.
Is it all the berries? Only some of them.
It looks like most of them.
Yeah, I know it got a fungal. So you want to spray them right away, and the copper spray is safe for the fruit and everything else. So it's I'd spray them as soon as possible to be able to suppress that fungal so it doesn't get any worse. Okay.
Well,
you may lose that crop this year, but you want to be able to suppress it to get rid of it for next year.
Okay. I also noticed on the wild ones when I go walking, they're the same way.
Yeah. So it's just what happened in your area, and it depends if the conditions are just right, and which they have been. We have had, especially your Prince Albert, you said?
Yes, I am.
You've had quite a bit of moisture up around Prince Albert areas.
Yes, a lot.
Yeah, a lot. And so that's probably what has spread it a bit, is the moisture. And so, like I said, the best thing to do is spray it with copper sulfate.
Okay.
Okay?
And where do I get that copper sulfate from?
You should be able to get it in Prince Albert at any one of your garden centers or your out there, Canadian Tire or Walmart or Home. I think you got a Rona or something like that, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Or Home Depot.
Right.
Any one of those garden centers should have it there.
Okay, good. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Lorraine.
Okay.
Take care.
Have a good day. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye. 1-877-332-8255. Next, waiting the longest, going to Warman to talk to Mel this morning. Hi, Mel.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Pretty good.
I've got a problem with my roses that I've never had before, Rick. I found two little green worms on one and some little red spiders dancing around some other ones.
Okay, so the worms are easy to get rid of with a product called BTK, but if you got both of them, I would suggest you use a product called Ambush.
Okay.
Ambush is fairly safe to use. The only problem you don't want to use with the roses, because roses are just coming into bloom right now, right? Yours?
That's right, yeah.
So the only problem with spraying them is that you want to spray them in the evening when the bees aren't around.
Okay.
Okay? So that's what you want to make sure you do. If you're going to spray them then. Otherwise, if you just want to get rid of the worms, because the spiders are unless you... Do you see little blotches on the leaves?
Yep.
Yeah, so then you have spider mite then. So if you have spider mite that bad, then the only thing that's going to work on it is going to be a product called malathion. Okay?
Oh, okay.
On spider mite.
I wondered about malathion.
Yeah, but then there again, spray them when the bees are not around. And so
okay,
you have to spray them in the evening when the bees are gone to sleep.
Yeah, so malathion or Ambush?
No, I'd just use malathion. If you have blotches on the leaves, you have spider mite, and malathion is going to be the one that will take care of it right away.
Oh,
and you have to try to get the bottom side of the leaves as well, okay?
They're small rose bushes. They're the ones I got a couple from you over the years here, and this is the first time I've ever had a problem with them.
Yeah, so put some gloves on and try to spray the underneath side of the leaves.
All right then.
Okay.
Thanks, Mel.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-877-332-8255. We're going to keep going. We've got two Sharons, but first we're going to go to Jean, and this Jean is in Regina. Hi, Jean.
Hi there. My question is, can I still prune my globe cedars? They're about 2 feet, 2.5 feet high.
Yep, not a problem. Now we're into July. You can start pruning your cedars. Not a problem.
Right. And one other thing, you mentioned about fertilizing all my cedars, my shrubs, etc. What about things like Valiant grape and clematis vines?
Same thing. With
okay.
Give them one last fertilizing now, especially clematis. You don't want to fertilize too late into the summer.
Right.
Otherwise, they won't shut down, and they'll get some winter kill on the clematis, okay?
Right.
So right now, anytime in the beginning, from now to the middle of July is a great time to fertilize those grapes and clematis.
Great. Thank you so much. You're always very helpful.
You're welcome, Jean.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, 1-877-332-8255. We want to get some texts, but we've got lots of calls, so we're going to keep going with that because it's moving well. Okay, we've got two Sharons. One is in Regina. We're going to go there first and talk to her. Hi, Sharon.
Hi.
Hi there. What's your question for us?
My question is, I recently had a spruce tree removed, and they mulched the stump and the roots.
Yep.
And I was wondering, should I be removing the wood chips?
Yeah, if you're going to plant right away in that same spot,
I want to put grass.
You want to put grass? Yeah, there's too much mulch there. So I would suggest taking some of it out, because otherwise you will get a ton of mushrooms growing in that grass in that area.
Right. Okay.
So unless you want to have years and years of mushrooms, you need to remove some of those sawdust, the chips in that, and then replace with some good topsoil. And you still will get mushrooms, okay?
Is there someone suggested using lime for the cones too? Is that right?
The only reason you put lime is because underneath that tree, your pH has probably gone fairly low, okay?
Okay.
And so you can spread a little bit of lime there to get your grass to establish quicker.
Okay. But I'll not be able to get all the wood. I know that for sure.
Yeah, and you will have
There's
mushrooms.
Nothing I can do
the only
that,
way, okay. And the only way to get rid of the mushrooms is you have to try to get. Use some compost accelerator. You can use that spread that on the soil. Go get some compost accelerator and spread it on the soil too. That's bacteria that'll help eat up the rest of that organic material a little quicker.
Okay, so I shouldn't plant grass right away and put new soil on. I should work on this. Is that what you're saying?
I would put some. First of all, dig out some of the sawdust. Okay, as much as
yes.
you can.
Yes.
Put the compost accelerator down and then put your topsoil on top of that. And then start.
Okay. Well, good.
All right.
Thank you kindly. Yeah.
You're welcome. Thanks, Sharon. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. All right. 1-877-332-8255. We're gonna keep. We got another. We got like three Sharons this morning, but the next one is in Neville, Saskatchewan. Hi, Sharon.
Hi. Good morning, Jay and Rick. Last year my corn came up really, really spotty, so I thought I'd be smart this year and plant it thick, and I think every kernel germinated. And it looks lovely. It's fine. It's been coming along this past 10 days or so. Anyway, how much spacing? What's the minimum spacing I can leave before I pull any out and still get a cob?
You probably want to have those cobs at least. I would say, how close together are they now? They're right tight.
Probably maybe 5-6 inches. 5 inches.
5-6 inches?
Five, maybe?
5-6 inches is not too bad. I think you'd be okay at 5 or 6 inches.
Okay.
If you want, you can go up to 8 to 12 inches, but 6 inches should be fine as long as you're feeding those plants, okay?
Okay.
That's the biggest thing is using corn is a heavy feeders, right?
Oh.
So make sure that you're feeding them, and even what I suggest in the garden, and it's one of the cheapest fertilizers you can get almost, is that use an alfalfa pellets, okay?
Oh.
Make a tea with it, put 2 cups and 5 gallons of water, and let it stew overnight and steep overnight, and then stir it up again and pour it down your roll. And you can do that about you could probably do that if you want on the corn about every week to every 7 to 10 days if you wanted to.
Okay, good advice. So could I leave any that are, say, 2 or 3 inches apart, or not really?
If they're that close together, then it's going to be quite a bit of competition that close.
Okay.
Right?
Great.
So, I mean,
okay.
if you're feeding them, it'd probably be okay, but then also you got a problem with light, okay, when they get that thick and that close together.
Yes.
You may want to put them a little farther apart or otherwise, like, keep feeding them because when they're that close together, they're going to want to eat everything around.
Exactly.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks, Sharon. Take care. All right, 1-877-332-8255. The calls keep rolling in. Just keep in mind, this is just a one-hour show, so we're going to run out of time here pretty soon. Let's get this one quick question answered, and your call will be right after this break here. We had another Sharon call us, Rick, and ask, what are the yellow blooming weeds that grow around the edges of sloughs?
Yellow weeds go on the edge of sloughs.
Yeah, I mean, besides dandelions, I suppose. Besides that, though, there must be something else.
Yeah, there's a few that it could be. I mean, it's on the edge, it's not in the water, right? So
sounds like it, yeah.
I'm not sure. I have to see a picture of it. So the best thing to do is send a picture to rick@dutchgrowers.com.
Yep.
Once I saw the leaves and the flower, I'll be able to tell them.
Okay, there we go for that Sharon who called us there. Anne is going to be coming up, Mary Ann and Cudworth as well, and we're going to answer some texts off the break here as we get going and keep moving with the show, but the end is coming up soon. I'm Jay Thomas, the Rick Van Dyven Dyke. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. All right, last segment of Garden Talk this morning. Welcome back. I'm Jay Thomas, the Rick Van Dyven Dyke. I would normally ask you to call or text us, but we're actually pretty full up, so we'll do our best to get what we've got answered right now. We're going to start with the calls we've got. Waiting the longest is Anne, who's in Saskatoon. Hi, Anne.
Yes. About a month ago, I seen some Japanese peonies.
Okay. And what
and
do you want?
I love the foliage.
Yep.
Okay. So you guys out of them, but I found somebody that's going to give me some. When can I transplant them?
Best time to do the Japanese peonies. They're a beautiful plant, but the best time is in the spring. So do it first thing, is as soon as the ground is, the frost is out of the ground in April. If you transplant
okay,
them now,
the only problem is
now, they won't,
she's changing her garden area
yep.
where they are, and she wants to get rid of them before spring.
Okay, so when's she painting them, this summer or in the fall?
She's going to be doing it by this fall.
Okay, so if you have to move them when it's hot in the summertime, take mm-hmm. as much root as you can, okay?
Okay.
So do not let them go bare root, okay? You got to try to scoop with a shovel as much root as you can. I suggest putting them into a pot. You know,
uh-huh.
get a big size, good size pot and put them in a pot and then put them into the shady area for about a week's time first. So that they
okay.
they can acclimatize from not be going into the hot sun right away, okay? And then you can okay. transplant them off after a week.
Okay.
Okay?
That'd be great. And I could safely plant them on each side of a rose garden, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They'll love it there.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ann. Take care. All right. Bye-bye. All right, we've got one more call to get to out to Cudworth right now. This is Mary Ann. Good morning, Mary Ann.
Good morning. Yes, I have a problem. I've been gardening for 65 years now. We moved to town 32 years ago, and I cannot grow dill in this garden. The neighbors beside us have dill galore. The neighbors across the back alley have dill. I've taken seed from their garden, scattered it all over. I seed dill every year, and I have no dill.
No dill. That's unusual because usually
yes,
dill.
Yes, I know. I know all about dill. It's a weed once you get it going.
Maybe what you got to do is dig a little patch of dirt. Okay.
Yeah.
Dig a little patch and then maybe down about 2 inches down deep. Okay.
Yeah.
And then bring in some new topsoil.
Yeah.
You know, buy some bag soil and put some bag soil and then seed into that new soil.
Well, I've tried that already. Just
you tried that
already.
That didn't work for you.
I don't know. I'm not that young. Well, I'm 85 years old, and I've been gardening for 65, and I've never had trouble with dill.
Maybe you can just make friends with your neighbors, and they'll just give you some.
Oh, I know, but I feel kind of silly going to the neighbors all the time. Why is it that next door and across the back alley, and people have given me seed from their garden, and it will not grow?
Do you have a garden in the same area, Mary Ann? Like,
yes.
Are you're putting it, and everything else grows in your garden.
I have a wonderful garden every
yeah.
year.
What do you mean, have you tried some bot seed yet from the seed packet?
Pardon?
Have you tried any bot seed? Like, have you ever bought some dill seed?
Oh, I have. I even planted a whole long row this year, and there's not one plant up.
Hey, but did you use the neighbor's seed, or did you buy new seed?
I bought new seed.
Oh, yeah, that should happen easy for you then. That's odd. That,
well,
that
I expected to have dill all over the garden the way I was scattering it around, but I do not have one weed.
Maybe this next year, try starting the dill inside in a pot, okay? Inside in the pot.
Okay.
Get it started indoors and then transplant it.
Well, give it a try, but...
try that.
I
okay.
hate going to the neighbors all the time getting dill to pick a weed, but I have no dill.
Try start next spring, put some seed and grow it indoors first,
yeah.
and then transplant the plants outside.
Okay, I'll give it a
okay.
try.
Our best guess,
okay.
Mary Ann. Thanks a lot.
Okay, bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Wow, that's a strange one, Rick.
That's if she spread that much dill, she should be like a jungle of dill.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, let's go to the text line, 1-877-332-8255. I'm not going to invite you to text in anymore because we're barely going to get through what we've got to answer here. This is Marge from Regina. Good morning. I've got several ash trees that have a large infestation of aphids. What's the best product I can use to get rid of them?
Ambush. Okay. Or Andol. Andol, which is a canola oil, insecticidal soap, and pyrethrin in one. Or use Ambush. Ambush is a little quicker.
Okay.
But either one.
And I think this is a similar question. This is from Rita, who's in Saskatoon. My rose bush leaves have holes in them. What can I spray with it that is an... she thinks it's an aphid problem, but will it hurt the blooms?
Best if you can not to spray the blooms as much as you can.
Okay.
But if it has holes in it, it all depends what it is. If it's just little holes, like round holes in the leaves, but if it's like a half moon that takes out the edge of the leaf, then that's basically a leaf cutter bee. But if it's just holes randomly over the leaf, that could be just a beetle that's chewing a hole out of the leaf.
So for Rita, best case is to send a picture then, right?
Yeah, or otherwise use Ambush and that'll work.
Okay, so Ambush is going to be fine. Perfect.
And try not to hit the flowers if possible.
Okay. This is Eric and Rostern says, I have some tomato plants. The lower, larger leaves are looking very healthy, but the upper, smaller leaves are curling inwards. What's the problem?
If they're curling inwards, it's usually when you're curling inwards, it's a type of a wilt that's happening on them. Like that's what I'm worried about. So that they should be, I would suggest as a preventive for more happening, is spray them with copper sulfate.
Okay.
Okay.
And we'll get...
so it sounds like they might have a wilt in there that if the leaves are curling upwards, and then so the best thing to do is spray them with copper sulfate, and spray it every 10 days.
Okay. Here's a good one. Greg in Regina. Good morning, Rick and Jay. I have to cut my lilac bush down to the ground beside the deck because we'll be tearing down the deck soon and rebuilding. How long can I cut the bush down without killing it?
Well, this time of the year, you have to leave some leaves. So that's the key. You can trim it down, but as long as you leave some leaves there so the plant can produce sugars for the root system, okay?
Yep.
So you can trim it down pretty good, and it's going to be hard on it. But you've got to leave some leaves. If you just have little stumps left, it'll have a tough time.
Okay. That pretty much does it for Garden Talk today. We're out of time. So yeah, we'll try to get the rest of the texts answered off the air here. But thanks for joining us. And, yeah, I mean, fertilize till July 15th and keep the water going and enjoy the sunshine.
Yep, and make sure you don't overwater for some of your new yards. Okay?
Right.
That's the big one.
We'll be back same time, same place next weekend. I'm Jay Thomas with Rick Van Dyvendyke. This has been Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.